Good morning, and welcome to the December 19th, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Public Utility District Commission. Ann's probably coming up a little later on from the festivities downstairs, but I would just like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone here today and wish you a happy New Year's and a blessed Christmas and great holidays. And I appreciate all the festive dresses. Every place I walked around today, the beautiful sweaters. I just can't call them ugly sweaters. Well, maybe some of them. Anyway, I just wanted to take the opportunity to wish you the best and happy holidays. And so I'd like to, and Ann will be probably joining us, and Dennis, I don't know if is Dennis online yet?
I don't see him yet.
He may still be online
downstairs. Yeah, he may be online downstairs visiting. So we do have a quorum, and we'll go ahead and move forward with the meeting. I'd like to thank everyone for participating and remind you to silence any electronic devices that you have with you today, including mine. For those attending electronically, please mute your screen. Today's meeting is a study and business session that will begin this morning at 10 a.m., and we will probably conclude all of our meeting this morning with our study and business session this morning. Does that include executive session?
Yep, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yep. So it's up to me to keep moving right along. Okay. We welcome the public's input at our meetings and remind you that these meetings are recorded. Members of the public are encouraged to ask specific questions after each item presented. If you wish to provide additional comment or ask questions related to matters not on the agenda, time will be provided at the end of the meeting today for you to address the commission. If you wish to address any item on the agenda, please raise your hand either physically or electronically, signaling that you wish to speak. When recognized, please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Today, currently, we have three commissioners present. Manager Kirk Hudson, General Counsel Eric Walquist, and Rebecca Newman, Clerk of the Board. Today, would you please join Adam Gormley in leading the Pledge of Allegiance and Safety Minute.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right. Good morning. So, everybody, the Pledge of Allegiance then? Pledge of Allegiance. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, liberty, justice for all.
Welcome, Adam, and go ahead with the safety minute.
Sure, thank you. I intended on being there in person, but I'm still not feeling 100% well, so I figured I'd save you all from potentially catching this.
We appreciate
that. I really appreciate having the time to talk to you today. This one is pretty practical, but I thought I'd share some just common winter tips and maybe some general ones about car safety for the winter, particularly with the roads it's been so cold. So just to keep in mind, maybe do an inventory in your cars. Double check this winter that you've got an ice scraper. I know that I got caught without mine this winter. And, you know, kind of have to use a credit card or something isn't fun. Make sure you have a brush, too, because we've been getting quite a bit of snow. Keep an extra set of winter clothing in your car, some gloves, some boots, a nice blanket just in case. A small collapsible shovel. I know this can be a little bit, when am I going to use that? But when you get stuck, you'll definitely appreciate having that. Plus maybe a bag of sand or kitty litter to put under your tires for traction. Extra windshield fluid, wiper fluid. I don't know if any of you were run out before, but I have, and it wasn't fun either. Some general all year round items to keep. Make sure your first aid kit's in your car. It's stocked. You have a small tool kit that has tools that fit your car. make sure your roadside kit has all the necessaries like jumper cables and things, some water, some non-perishable foods like protein bars, trail mix, honey, jerky, all good to have all year round. Sunglasses are actually really good to cut glare in sun, rain, and snow. So having them all year round is surprisingly beneficial. And just in general, year round for traveling, make sure to maintain your vehicle in general. Make sure your fluids are good, your tires are pressured up. You've got the right equipment for the season. Be well rested. Don't be very sleepy when you're driving. That's never a good thing. Pull over, switch drivers, do those safe things. Make sure to top your tank off before you leave town and keep it over 50% while you're traveling. And if it's necessary or you feel like you're on a path you don't normally go, it's good to tell people where you're going, what your plan is, when you plan to get there. Stay in contact. Also, follow the road rules and slow down when things get inclement weather happens. And as usual, avoid distractions. And buckle up. So just some general reminders for all of you this winter. Hopefully they're helpful.
Thank you, Adam. Good points. I want to really reinforce the topping off your gas tank. For those of us who live in Leavenworth, the other night I was ready to move because I got to the Y, the interchange there. And from that point to Leavenworth, I was stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Did not time that well, and I'm glad I had a full tank of gas. So, Adam, thanks for your timely points on safety for winter traveling. All right. Any questions or comments for Adam?
No, but I have some about your trip.
Yes.
No.
You're going to tell me to move, too?
I was just wondering if you thought about pulling over, parking, and walking the rest of the way.
Well, actually, I went the North Road, and that's what people were doing. They were parking in farmers' driveways.
And walking.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's going to be a problem for somebody there, too. And they were walking. This was a mile before you even get to the train station. I've never seen anything like it. So, all right. Thanks, Adam. All right, commissioners, our general manager is recommending moving resolutions 9, 12, and 16 to the consent agenda. Did I get that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Additionally, for the public's information, items on the consent agenda are subject to transfer to the regular agenda upon request of any commission member. Do I hear, we have somebody that needs to put their computer on mute.
Oh, okay.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, do I hear any requests or additions to the agenda? Okay, agenda stands. Commissioners, I'd like to have a little guidance here on voting on when we get to the resolutions. Excuse me. My plan is to vote on numbers 10, 11, 13, 14, and 15 together, and probably items number 17 and 18 separately, unless I hear any other directions from you. That's okay. I see a head nod, so we'll move in that direction. Okay. Kirk, let's move on to our CPO winners with Anna and Bryce.
Thank you. Anna's joining us online, so I'll start with Anna. And Anna and Bryce are the November 2022 Cycle of Personal Ownership Award winners. Anna is being recognized for her work on actually reformatting our standard operating procedures, which we actually have a number of standard operating procedures, standard operating guidelines, standard operating instructions. And so Anna is working with a team in reformatting those and putting them in a place where they're easily accessible on a new SharePoint online. And so anytime you do something like this, reformat something and make it available, there's always challenges. And Anna was instrumental in making sure all this happened seamlessly. And she even at one point was educating the vendor on workflow processes and how to use that efficiently. So just really appreciate Anna's work. She does this day in and day out for the transmission and compliance group, and very proficient. So thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much, Kirk.
Bryce, you want to come on up? So Bryce is in our HR department, and he's relatively new here, but making a big impact in a short period of time. And so Bryce works in the mainly the compensation area. So anytime we update job descriptions, we look at our compensation analysis, make sure that we're paying competitively. And there's a tremendous amount of work with that with 800 plus employees. And Bryce has done a fantastic job in a short period of time, really helping us get things moving through the system, and working with Allison. And just he was recognized by the finance and risk department for the work he was doing to support them. And I do know I've heard from multiple business units that they also echoed the recognition that he's been doing extremely well and helping out on all the work that needs to be done with all the changes in employees. And so appreciate the work you've done, Bryce, and kudos and making a big impact in a short period of time while you're here.
Yeah, I appreciate it as a new person to the PUD. I appreciate all the help from Rosario and Allison. Everybody's been great. So thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you.
So thank you, Anna.
And Anna, we kind of zipped right by you, and we don't, and Bryce, you don't have to run away real quick. We'll give you a second. Anything else that you'd like to, we don't require you to say anything, but is there anything else that either of you would like to share with the commission about your jobs and kind of educating us as to your role and your work and your teams and people you work with?
I know for myself, the HR department's been amazing at helping me learn the various things that I need to learn in my role. Allison and Zara have been great. Everybody on the team has been great. I work with a lot of directors, managing directors, and staff here, and everybody's been amazing and very helpful. So I appreciate everybody's help.
Great. Thank you. Anna, was there anything you'd like to share with us?
No. Excuse me. No, other than just I really appreciate working here, and I appreciate the award very, very much.
Very good. All right. Well, it's great being in an organization that recognizes the hard work of people, and we certainly do recognize and appreciate your hard work. So we wish both of you a Merry Christmas, and thanks for being here today.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item 4 on our agenda, our safety investigation recommendations follow-up. We've got Brett Bickford.
Got Brett Bickford and Dan Garrison and Cassie Bertelson. And this is our annual update to the board from the Eddie Bromley accident from June 2018. A number of recommendations from the investigation, and we're committed to making sure we do an update at least on an annual basis to ensure we get all of the recommendations completely addressed. So this team has been working on that with a number of others, and they're going to provide the update today.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. I'm Brett Bickford, Managing Director of Generation and Transmission.
I'm Dan Garrison, Director of Hydro Operations.
And I'm Cassie Bertelson, Program Manager for Human Performance Improvement.
Brett, can you help with the steering the iPad whenever each of the speakers?
You bet.
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, we're here today to help provide an update on the recommendations associated with the swing rail incident in the Rock Island Spillway. We had two companies that performed investigations and prepared reports with a number of recommendations. That was WD Associates and Tetra Tech. We're going to show a couple of slides of quite a number of projects that we've completed. which is shown here on the first slide, and then on the second slide. And they kind of describe some of those actions. We've been able to install proximity switches to help detect any upward movement of swing rails. We've installed gussets, and we've made modifications to the shape of the structure so that we can make sure that the crane hooks don't potentially lift those up. We've installed strobe lights on all the auto hoists so that staff know when those gates are operating. We've also installed audible alarms and signs on the entrances to the spillway to let staff know when those spill gates might be operating. It gives them some time to stop and wait, or if they're traveling on the deck, to then move to the center fishway so that they can be out of harm's way when gates are operating. We've created standard operating procedures and trained personnel how to work with these audible lights and when to cross the deck and when not to. We're still investigating, and hopefully we'll be able to eliminate the swing rail reuse altogether when we make final improvements to the spillway that's upcoming in the next couple of years. We have three activities left to complete, and Cassie's going to talk about the first two, and then Dan will talk about the third one.
So while an independent assessment of the district's safety concern and close call program has been performed, with a full survey and assessment conducted back in 2019, and then a brief follow-up survey conducted in December of 2021, there's still a couple of outstanding items the district would like to accomplish before considering this particular recommendation as complete. So first is to finalize the rewrite of the Incident Investigation and Reporting Standard, or IRIS, document to the new version of the Event Learning Standard, or ELS. This incorporates the human performance principles into how the district responds to and learns from incidents or events. So we've actually contracted with a consultant to finish this draft document over the coming month, and then we'll need to engage stakeholders for feedback and final updates before rolling out to the organization and ensuring that there's an adequate degree of awareness amongst employees. Second is finalizing implementation of the district's governance risk and compliance, or GRC, enable on software for safety incident management. This particular software module is actually currently live and operational. However, the district is working through finalization of some features, including specific report out capabilities and leadership access for ease of information gathering and employee transparency purposes. So our proposed completion for this item will be quarter one of 2023. Second slide is this human performance slide. Per the WD Associates report, HPI implementation had not bridged the gap between the need to improve human performance improvement and the practical application of its principles. So the recommendation was to continue implementation of human performance improvement tools at the district. So therefore, a district performance plan goal was established for 2022 to provide organization-wide human performance training, which builds upon the district's existing HPI philosophy and principles and moves into providing practical application of several HPI error reduction tools. So as of December 2nd, 662 total employees, or 88% of the district staff, have participated in HPI training, with the remaining portion of the population scheduled in January of 2023. So after this district-wide training is complete, our ultimate intention is to continue advancement of human performance by empowering employees with additional HPI tools, processes, and knowledge through follow-up engagements and focused micro-lessons each year moving forward. By consistently embedding these HPI tools and practices as habits into our daily work lives, it will aid in reducing the frequency and severity of incidents and help to continually improve our defenses against inevitable errors. So therefore, proposed completion of this item is quarter one of 2023. However, HPI efforts will continue through further implementation and maturity of HPI tool use, which will be continually tracked and adjusted through the district and business unit operating plans.
Good morning, commissioners. I'd like to add to the summary that Brett gave, that all of the action items necessary to prevent a similar event were completed long ago, And that's super important to me, being a director out there in hydro. We don't ever obviously want to see something like this. So we had put a high degree of priority in getting all of those modifications to the swing rails in place, limit switches, strobe lights, all these things as soon as reasonably possible. So those have been completed, and they've been completed for well over a year, probably going on 2 years. The effort that remains, at least out at the hydro, is to do a thorough inspection of the swing rails and everything that's underwater beneath those swing rails. We have 11 auto hoists that have this configuration. We've completed four of them thus far. And it's often asked or questioned, you know, why does it take so long? It is a very considerable effort. And we spend in excess of 10 to 12 weeks per each, you know, having a dedicated crew out of central maintenance to do this work. So we have seven more to go, and I thought I'd spend a little bit of time explaining why it takes so long or why it's such an intensive effort. This first slide here, one of the first things we do is we have to get all the cables off of the auto hoist. So you see our guys climbing on top, disconnecting all the end turns, and then removing those cables. Next slide, please. After that's completed, we have to take the hoist off of the spillway itself. This is a chronological set of photographs. On the far left, we are removing all of the fasteners, bolts that hold it in place. Then we actually lift the hoist up using the gantry crane, then shift it over above the spillway deck, and then lower it down onto the deck, and we actually remove it completely off-site to do a thorough inspection of the hoist itself and make corrective repairs. That particular action is what has taken a fair amount of effort. Because we have removed that hoist and we've taken things apart, you can do a much greater in-depth inspection, and we find lots of things that need to be replaced, shivs, bushings, etc. But once it's off, now the next thing we got to do is we have to dewater that bay. So that requires us to find one of our spare stop locks, wherever it may be on the deck. We lift it up with the gantry crane, transport it over to the bay that we want to inspect on, and then we lower it in place. Now we're able to dewater that. We lift up the existing spill gates and get them out of the way. Yeah, next slide, please. And it's not a very romantic photograph, but this is the kinds of things we see down there. We'll see eroded concrete. We'll see corroded bolts. We'll make note of all these things, repair things that we can right then, or if it's a longer term, it requires much more effort, we'll make a special work order to come back at a later time. So it's a very involved process. In summary, we have 11 of those that we have to do. We've done four of them so far. Those are 17, 20, 22, and 25. We recently started our fifth one, Spill Bay 19. It's not a very favorable time of year to do that work, but it's important, and we've initiated that in early December. And our basic plan is to do two of these inspections a year, and that will get us completed roughly by 2025. Just as a descriptor of how much effort we generally use about 2,000 hours of our craft labor to do each one of these. So it's a very substantial effort.
Any questions?
Commissioners?
I just want to thank Dan for that overall, that description that really puts into context how seriously we take safety as just one small segment of what we're doing. And, I'm glad to see that we're constantly on it. So thank you.
I would just add a small segment that is going to have big, huge, important
having a big, huge, important impact. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much, you guys. Oh, Gary?
Thank you, Steve. I would just like to add my comments as well. And I was fortunate to have a tour of Rock Island and to have the opportunity to be reintroduced to the situation down there. And I have to say I strongly encourage the commission as we move forward that any recommendations to upgrade those gates. It seems like a real dilemma, particularly if there was ever a period when we had a lot of water coming down the river in terms of trying to get those gates open in sufficient time to meet the water coming down the river. So it's something that's very, I think, could pose a significant risk in the future. So I'm really supportive of really spending the time and the resources on Rock Island and doing whatever we can to just continue increasing safety down there.
Great.
A good presentation.
Yeah. All right. And Cassie, I also appreciate the ongoing efforts throughout the entire organization to take that opportunity for continued learning and improvement and reinforcing that safety work. And it's a priority of ours, and I really appreciate that. So thank you all for your presentation and ongoing work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I will open up to the public. Are there any public comments or questions? Anybody have anything they would like to address the commission today? All right. Well, at this time, we'll move into our business session of the meeting. And commissioners, we have a consent agenda in front of us, which includes items 9, 12, and 16 added to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move.
So moved.
Oh, and I will
second.
And I'll second. So you have double confirmation there.
Very good. Very fitting for our exiting commissioners to make the motion and second. Thank you. Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. We are going to move in. And that included items, I want to just reinforce, that included items 9, 12, and 16 on that consent. Let's move on into resolution number 10.
Okay. I'd like to invite Catherine. And Ian, why don't you come up too? Just, there's going to be two of them here that are different but related. So resolution number 10 is resolution authorizing amendment number 1 to interagency services agreement contract number 19-10432 with Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife to provide hatchery monitoring and evaluation services. With us is Catherine Willard.
Good morning. And this is actually amendment 3.
So. Amendment 3?
Yeah.
We have a error there.
Yeah.
We will get that corrected. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yes, so good morning, and I will be requesting funding for a third amendment to an interagency service agreement with Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, WDF&W, to conduct monitoring evaluation, which we refer to as M&E, activities in support of the district's HCP, the Habitat Conservation Plan, our hatchery programs. This is an annual request that we come to the board with. The Rock Island and Rocky Reach HCPs require the district or its designated agents to monitor and evaluate the success of the district's hatchery programs and provide information to the district and to the HCP HATRI committees to adaptively manage these programs. Additionally, we use the M&E data to inform our HATRI production recalculation, which the district does every 10 years. And if you recall, I presented an update on that because we completed it in July. The NTE price for HATRI M&E services in 2023 is $1,049,460, which is an 11.3% decrease over the amount budgeted in 2022. This decrease is partially the result of a decrease in WDF&W's indirect rate from 36.28% to 33.5%. The remaining budget decrease is a result of an evaluation of cost to conduct the annual steelhead spawning ground surveys that we do in the spring. District staff determined we can perform these surveys utilizing existing budgeted district staff in 2023 for nearly half the cost of WDF&W. The district staff continues to evaluate the M&E program for cost effectiveness and assessing which entity is best suited to conduct specific M&E tasks. Given we're embarking on 10 years since the last RFP for these services to conduct the M&E activities, the district is planning to go out for another RFP for these services in 2024. With that, are there any questions regarding this amendment?
Well, it's not very often people come to us with a decrease in so I want to commend you for the cost savings efforts, and I appreciate that work.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay. Why, we have Ian here. Resolution number 11 is a resolution authorizing the general manager to enter into an interagency agreement contract number 22-12399 with Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife to operate the fish hatchery programs required in the licenses for Rocky Reach, Rock Island, and Lake Chelan hydroelectric projects. I thought we'd do these two somewhat because it can be confusing as to which one's which. So, Ian?
All right, good morning. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, or DFW, as I'll refer to them, have been helping the district meet our hatchery compensation component of achieving no net impact since before the hatchery conservation plans were even written. The district's current five-year agreement for hatchery operations is set to expire on the 31st of this year. And this morning, I'm going to be requesting authorization to move into a new five-year agreement with Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife for hatchery operations. This proposed agreement will differ only from the previous five-year agreements in that it will be a not-to-exceed agreement, meaning in this case, we would be coming to the board once every 5 years rather than annually, looking for authorization to contract with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. As with previous agreements, this agreement would also still have the same termination clauses, meaning if we decided to terminate for any particular reason, either party, we would only pay for the services rendered, not the entire five-year agreement. And this can be supported by the monthly review and approval of task authorization invoices for site-specific hatchery operations. We believe that entering into a five-year agreement with a not-to-exceed will help the district project its cost over the next 5 years and help reduce some of the volatility in the prices we've seen over the last few years, some of which have been directly related to the indirect rate that Catherine mentioned in her presentation. So district staff will continue working with DFW annually to develop these budgets and work plans, working within the limit of that five-year NTE price. So the five-year NTE price for this contract is $19,919,146. A few important things to note about this contract are, a portion of this contract amount totaling $3,716,547, or 19%, will be cost-shared with Grant PUD under an existing cost-sharing agreement. WDFW's indirect rate, as Catherine indicated, has dropped from 36.28% down to 33.5%, resulting in a cost savings to the district of a little over $68,000 for 2023. And unfortunately, unlike Catherine's agreement, I've got a 7.6% increase this year, and that could be attributed to a couple of things. WDFW union supported wage increases between 4% and 16%, depending on the position, to offset rising inflation and help incentivize the employee retention is a big part of it. And district supported additional FTEs, a total of 2 additional FTEs to help us with our increasing effort required to do broodstock collection. And as I briefly mentioned, we only pay for services rendered. So if DFW do not budget the full amount, we only pay the amount that has been invoiced. So whatever that comes to at or below the NTE price. So hatchery department staff continue to monitor operating costs. And at this point, contracting with the Department of Fish and Wildlife is the least cost and best option for the district. With that, I'd take any questions.
Commissioners, any questions?
I have one. I heard you say, and I'm just trying to figure out exactly what this means, to incentivize employer attention.
Incentivize employee retention.
Oh, retention.
Yes.
Okay. That makes more sense. All right. No, but thanks for the report. I know it's really, really important. Something we have to do and have to really stay on top of. When is the next 10, I should know this, when is the next 10-year check-in?
Oh, we just got done with one. What is our...
2 years ago?
The Rock Island one was done last year, and then Rocky Reach is being done in 2023. You're talking about the habitat conservation plan?
Yes, yeah. I should have clarified that, yeah.
First 20... survival study, yeah. Mm-hmm. We just did a 10-year check-in for Rock Island, and then...
And had really good results, mm-hmm. Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Rocky Reach will be done in the spring.
Yep.
Good. Okay.
So
thank you.
Year will be 32. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2032, I guess, be the next one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Come on up, Alex. Resolution number 13 is a resolution authorizing an amendment to service agreement SA number 21-11980 with APFS LLC to provide technical project management resources. Alex Smith is joining us.
Yeah, good morning. District staff has identified the need for additional services for our new and ongoing technical project and program management within IT. We're continuing to ask APFS, commonly known as AIM Consulting, to support the district's field workforce management and customer self-service initiatives through 2023. Some of those initiatives that we're expecting to take considerable amount of time is developing our RFPs to go through these new resources and get that new technology onboarded. We also expect to utilize these services to supplement additional technology-specific program management efforts through 2024 on an as-needed basis. We've been working with AIM Consulting since March of this year, and we increased their agreement in August to not exceed $499,000 from the original amount of $250,000. Really, project management resources were one of our largest limiting factors within IT in order to execute projects. We're building out a technology project management office right now and expanding those resources, and so these guys really help us expand those capabilities. We are recommending increasing the do not exceed amount by $1.5 million and bring the total amount authorized to just under $2 million. We said before we have the expectation that we will utilize these project management and consulting services through September of 2024. I open it to questions from that perspective.
Seeing any questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. All right, Lance, come on up. Resolution number 14 is a resolution rejecting all bids and declaring that no bids were received for supply of substation power transformers, bid number 22-12422, and authorizing the supply of substation power transformers be obtained by negotiation.
Thanks. Good morning. Lance Beyer, Project Manager in Engineering and Project Management. As Kirk said, so we opened bids for 22-12422 for power transformers for Jump Off Ridge Switchyard on December 8th. We received three bids. All took numerous exceptions to our terms and provided their own. In addition, one exceeded our engineer's estimate by more than 15%. So we're here seeking authorization to reject and negotiate. Questions?
Well, how are you feeling about that? Are you concerned that we may not be able to negotiate terms?
I think we can get there. I think a lot of the things we're seeing are not uncommon for a request this large and with this price tag on it. So I think we can get there. We just need the opportunity to conduct the conversations and see what's going to work.
So it's not price as much as terms?
Terms and primarily schedule, yeah. Uh-huh. Lead times on this type of equipment, it's way out there. So that's of utmost concern.
I'm not even sure how to ask this question, but I'm watching the war evolve in Central Europe, Ukraine, and what's going on with the electrical infrastructure there. Is there any thought that the challenges we're facing are somehow directly tied to a mad rush to move all kinds of electrical equipment into the Ukraine?
I don't know for certain. I can say that one of the vendors that we intend to negotiate with is U.S.-based, U.S.-sourced, so, and they have manufacturing facilities in the U.S. I don't know if that helps exactly. I don't know if I can totally answer that question in its entirety.
I don't know if anybody really.
Yeah, I think Lance addressed it just appropriately. It's really hard to say different systems, different configurations, but you know, there's certainly some element that is probably an impact there. It's just hard to say.
The stress causing a manufacturer to shift emphasis from one type to another. Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Not seeing any questions from Gary or Dennis. So
Lance right. has the next one too.
Okay.
The next one is agenda item number 15, a resolution rejecting the bid of General Pacific Incorporated of Fairview, Oregon, and accepting the bid of Wesco of Portland, Oregon, bid number 22-12425 for the supply of 115 kV and 230 kV conductor and shield wire. Same project, different equipment.
Same project, different equipment. Yep. So we opened bids for this one on December 1st. Again, three bids received. The apparent low was unable to meet our schedule. Their lead time was out 50 to 52 weeks, and we need it in just over 46 weeks. They also provided a couple additional terms around commodity pricing changing more than 5 cents a pound. They would be able to cancel their quote. And they wanted, or they required, adjustable pricing until the time of shipment. So the next lowest is a clean bid, and it's a very minimal increase in cost. They're able to meet the project schedule and provided no terms. So we're requesting authorization to award to the next lowest.
And those are both companies out of Oregon?
Yes. Yep.
Questions or comments? Interesting times. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks.
This time, commissioners, let's go ahead and I'll be looking for a motion for 10, 11, 13, 14, and 15.
I would move approval of resolutions 10, 11, 13, 14, and 15.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right.
Okay. And, we'll invite Ron Slabaugh up. Ron? Agenda item number 17 is a resolution authorizing the general manager to negotiate and execute a water system transfer agreement with the Pachassin Water District. And we thought we'd vote on this one separately, just from the standpoint of it's a significant milestone, mm-hmm. something we've been working on for a long time, Ron and the team. And so happy to be at this point. And Ron, why don't you introduce the resolution?
Sure. Thank you very much, Kirk. Again, Ron Slaybaugh, Water and Wastewater Manager. This resolution brings us one step closer to completing the acquisition of the Peshawson Water District system. You may recall they made their first inquiry to us expressing interest in this back in fall of 2016.
Wow. 6 years.
Not a lot has changed with this resolution since I described it just briefly a few weeks ago at the last commission meeting. There's only three major provisions that we have here. And one is that we aren't going to pay anything for the system, with the exception of there are some existing loans, some debt on those assets that is that cannot be transferred. So we will have to pay off that debt on those assets. The second is that there will be a transition period. So upon entering this agreement, we'll transition the Peshawson Water District's customers into our systems, better understand what their obligations, agreements with vendors, those sorts of things, and prep ourselves to be able to fully own, operate, and maintain the system upon closing. And then the third is that we, of course, want to retain full rights to set rates and fees and such as we need to, you know, properly operate those systems in accordance with any of our strategic planning and future financial policies that we may have. So in a nutshell, that's it. And go into additional detail if you have any specific questions.
Commissioners, any questions or comments for Ron? This has been a long time working on this, Ron. You've done a great job and really appreciate your efforts on that. As well as with the work from Steve Keene and others in the Peshawson Water District working with you. And so, Commissioners, any questions or comments?
Well, just an additional comment. There's been a lot of public meetings regarding that, and many that we as commissioners have attended over the years. And it's if there, the due diligence that has been performed, I think, on both sides of understanding the ramifications of this has been tremendous. I think a lot of thought with the community of Peshawson and our utility. So I just want to thank all parties involved for the time they've taken to make sure we get this right.
Appreciate that.
Commissioners, Eric Bolquist, I just want to say we do have a draft agreement that's virtually ready to send over for their review. Wanted to make sure we had this first. And just want to say thanks personally to Ron and his team and Daniel Apple, the two of them. Worked really hard together to get the draft in good shape. John's support has been helpful in that. So in terms of status, that's what I see as the next step. We'll actually reach out with a draft agreement to them.
Dennis.
I'll make this real quick. Randy's very eloquent. I would just say, hell yes. And this thing just about outlasted me. So it's a real pleasure to bring this thing forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis, with that said, would you like to make a motion?
I move that we accept Resolution 17 as presented.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Yes. Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. My goodness, it's been a lot of work, Ron. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Commissioners. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron. Okay, I'd like to invite Lindsay Mons up. Next item, agenda item number 18, is a proposed capital budget revision. And Chad Rissman.
Good morning, Commissioners. Lindsay Mons, Business Manager of Customer Utilities. And with me, I have Chad Rissman. What's your
morning.
Official title?
Good morning.
Director of Distribution Engineering and Asset Management.
There we go. A lot of words. Anyhow, today we're here with a motion associated with a budget revision for our transformer budgets, which are our customer transformers used to connect our individual customers for service. In late 2021, the board approved an emergency resolution for purchase of distribution transformers due to supply chain issues resulting from COVID-19. We were and are facing product shortages, extreme price volatility, and unreliable delivery timelines. As far as the budget goes, since transformers are capitalized and accounted for on delivery, and those budgets are set on a calendar year basis, in these situations where we have timelines, delivery timelines that could exceed a year, we're monitoring those budgets throughout the year and addressing budget needs as they come up. So earlier this fall, we did transfer $500,000 into the underground transformer budget, underground meaning those transformers that serve our customers through underground services, new developments, things like that. We transferred that under the general manager's authority. Now, as we're looking towards year end and the delivery timeline of the additional transformers, we are requesting an additional $500,000 be transferred into the underground transformer budget. We do have budget capacity available in our underground cable replacement budget that can be transferred so that there's no overall budget change. Underground cable replacements faced a similar shortage of materials and supplies associated with the cable, so we are have some money there. So if there's any questions, we're happy to take those, or if Chad has additional comments.
No, I don't think so. Appreciate the support. I at least in the distribution, we're running a little materials task force trying to keep a handle on some of the generally used materials that go through our warehousing, and these distribution transformers have taken all of our time, or the ones that are most volatile. So we're seeing prices 2 to 3 times. As Lindsay mentioned, vendors are not following through with contracts, following through with purchase orders. So it's just really volatile. As Lindsay also mentioned, these are very important to keep existing customers going. They're a critical device. There's some specific technical parameters of our system that aren't like everybody else's, but there are some. So they're specific to our system. Many parts of them are. So we've had a number of things in place. We've had to go grab transformer. We were down to just a handful of these left at one point in time, a position we'd rather not be in. So appreciate the commissioner's support in authorizing that emergency purchase, which has allowed us to be in communications with vendors. And we're ordering, you know, a truck full, 20 or 30 at a time, getting those in. And so in the next couple of weeks, we should have enough transformers in inventory to carry us through what we're forecasting to be needing for 2023, which is about 200 units of overhead transformers and about 300 units of the underground transformers. So in the next couple of weeks, we should be in good shape to have what we need for 2023 and what we're forecasting to need in 2023. So with these other tools and mechanisms, appreciate the support. I think we've worked our way out of that. The costs are higher. The lead times are going from usually sit between 6 to 10 weeks, you know, the last 20 years something. We're looking at greater than a year, 18 months, some 3 years. Some are just saying no. So we're very much concerned about our inventory levels of these devices.
Yeah, I was just going to add that we're not out of the woodwork by any stretch of the imagination. We're being told it might be a long, we're getting a batch, it looks like, but then we're being told it might be quite some time before we get others after that. So.
Okay, questions? And then with the cable budget for next year, we're okay, and What does the outlook look like for cable replacement purchase?
The lead times are out, which has caused a little bit of that. We're also crews being busy. We are installing a significant amount of conduit, so like half the work that is needed. So then we would install the cable in the conduit. So the cable or the conduit is available in many cases. So if there is a failure of the underground system, there is the conduit to be able to pull it in. We're just holding the cable reserves for emergency purposes, kind of similar to what we were doing with the transformers. Mm-hmm. So that's delaying completing several of the planned work, although the conduit is in place, staged and ready to go. So 2023's will be funding at the same level. We're hoping things will turn around and we'll have better cable strategies in place, so we're not planning on affecting the 23 budget for cables.
Okay, commissioners, do I have a motion for approval for number 18, resolution 18?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of resolution 18.
It's not a resolution. It's
a
proposed motion.
Revision. Do I have a second?
So I will move that.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Do we need to read it, Eric, at all?
No, it's written in the agenda. Okay. That's just confirming that's what was moved for approval.
Great.
Yeah. I just want to comment and say terrific work and the best to you guys. It's interesting that there's always new challenges. I mean, who would have thought 3 years ago that this is what you'd be facing? So I'm just so grateful for brilliant, talented, dedicated people like you guys running this organization. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Our warehousing, our purchasing group, our engineering group, we're here just kind of taking a bow and asking for authorization to do this, but those groups are the ones that are doing the work. Our purchasing group, yeah. Engineering and warehousing, done a lot of work trying to keep track of what's out there, what we have, what we don't have, what we need, what the forecasts are. So I agree. We've got great staff.
All right. Commissioners, Dennis.
The work we do is important. The way we go about doing it is well done. And thank you so much for keeping our customers in mind. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, commissioners, all those in favor of the motion to approve the capital budget revision, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. All right. We'll move on into Manager items. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I asked Lindsay to stay. She's got a manager item. Lindsay?
Yes. Thank you, Kirk. So here on behalf of our customer service, customer relations staff, I'm letting the board and the public know that we will close again on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is a national holiday, however, not a holiday for the PUD. But we will close our offices or plan to close our offices in order to provide customer service training for all our frontline staff. Gives them an opportunity to all be together and hear the same message from our trainers. Would note an additional plug that customers are still able to make payments on our new kiosks that are at the lobby here in Wenatchee and in Chelan and Leavenworth on those days. However, the customer service staff themselves will be in training.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Michelle Smith up. Michelle's going to provide us an update, Confluence Parkway open house that the city had.
Thank you, Kirk.
And this is Michelle's last board meeting, if I'm not
this
mistaken.
This will be my final board meeting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Michelle's retiring.
31 years.
Yep.
Oh, lots of board meetings, and it's been really fun. I just wanted to give a quick update kind of on the status of the Confluence Parkway. I was really hoping that I would be able to wrap this up by the end of the year, but, you know, it is the city is working really hard on trying to get NEPA bring that to closure, and they still have some major things to have happen. There's still a biological opinion that has to be written by the fishery agencies. They're hoping to have that by spring, but we kind of know how that often takes longer than anticipated. They're also hoping to wrap up a memorandum of agreement with the tribes, and we're not sure how long that would take, but they're also hoping to have that wrapped up by spring. So, you know, besides the environmental assessment and the 4F documents that they just issued for comment, those are two other critical things that need to happen for this project. So just going through the timeline and where the city is at right now, as Kirk mentioned, they did have an open house. That was really a rollout, if you will, of the environmental assessment and the 4F assessment documents. That is now in a 45-day public comment period. It ends, it's a little more than 45 days, but it ends January 31st. Next, they will have a public hearing on January 12th. The public hearing is for those that want to give public comment or verbal comment. We will be giving written comments for sure. And again, our focus is still on protecting the Haran Natural Area, our FERC obligations, as well as our obligations to protect that area as a natural environment. And so we do plan on writing comments on those two documents. And Jeff Osborne will be taking much of the work that I'm doing, but there is a full team in place working on this. So even though I'll be stepping off, just know that it's in good hands with the team that's working on this. Jeff Osborne, though, will be mainly the lead on this, as well as Justin Erickson will continue working on it. There is, again, just wanted to make sure you knew the timeline. We're working on the really important element, which is the land exchange agreement. We were hoping to wrap that up by the end of the year, but we're still doing some back and forth with the city on some items. We plan to bring that forward to you in January so that you can see what where we're at with that agreement, and hoping to wrap that up by the end of January. So there's just a few items left on that we just want to make sure the details are in that agreement, because a lot of the environmental assessment and the 4F documents are high level. So there's been a lot of discussion, especially as we've gone through our due diligence on some details, right, with noise abatement and different things that you won't find in those documents. So we want to make sure they're captured in the land exchange agreement. So we're carefully making sure that things that aren't in those environmental assessment and those NEPA documents, that we're capturing them in an agreement then the city will have that obligation to make sure that our focus for the environmental aspects are adhered to. So with that, any questions?
I don't have a question, but I have some comments. So any questions, go. Maybe take questions before me.
Questions, commissioners? Probably some comments. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I knew, but I'd forgotten this is your last meeting. So I want to say thank you so much. I have loved working with Michelle Smith from way back. I can't believe you've been here 31 years. You still look like you're 25 to me.
Well, thank you.
But I remember back when you were doing Lake Chelan relicensing. And Michelle was, you just absolutely blew me away. She's tiny in stature and young and just this young, pretty gal. And she faced, I can't even tell you what she faced in probably one, I don't know if you were involved in 100 meetings, but there were 100 meetings, and it was very difficult, and nobody was happy with any of the outcomes. It was kind of one of those things where, you know, everybody had to try to come. It was very difficult, she and Greg, and Michelle would get up in front of these large, difficult crowds, and it was like you put your, your vest on. What do I want to say?
The iron vest.
Yes, and she just, in her unbelievable way, just handled the process like I couldn't believe. So, you were so impressive to me, and you continue to be impressive, and you're so knowledgeable, so committed, and it's just a real trailblazer for women in this organization.
Thank you.
So thank you for everything.
Yes, you're welcome, and thank you for those kind words. It means a lot to me. Thank you. And I've really enjoyed the board members and the support from the board, entire board. All of the commissioners for my entire career have been so supportive. And it was actually Commissioner Barbara Tilley that gave me the advice one time driving up to Chelan. She said, you just put that iron vest on. And she goes, you protect the public interests, and you do what you do best. And as a public utility, that's always been what we've done. We've tried to protect the environment and our public interests and our license interests. And so Yeah, I appreciate those kind words from you. Thank you.
Okay, Gary.
Yes, I would also like to make a comment and to say, Michelle, I'm so sorry that you'll be leaving us. You've been such a strong force here at the district, and you've done such a wonderful job all these years. And I would echo the same thing that Ann said. You look too young to be retiring, but I'm glad, I'm happy for you. You will be sorely missed. And thank you for all that you have done for the district and for the customer owners of Chelan County PUD. You've done a wonderful job. So thank you so much, and just enjoy retirement.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I feel so fortunate to have worked here. And it's sad. I just still can't even believe I'm leaving in 2 weeks, but I know there's a couple commissioners that probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
So I will miss all of you. Thank you very much.
All right. And as board chair, this last year has been interesting on this topic. And so you and I will both be stepping down in leadership roles from that. So hopefully we did okay. And thank you very much for your help and support with the board and the commissioners.
Well, I'll be following the next steps on this for sure. So.
Yeah, so Michelle really has, you've been a real stabilizing force through this somewhat difficult process with Confluence. And to bring her in as a standing, this was a standing item every week. You just did a really good job of kind of being the liaison, the person in between that kept everything kind of moving forward in a positive way.
Thank you.
A lot of credit to you.
Yeah, these projects are tough, and it's all a balancing, you know.
And that's what you've done before.
Yeah.
Fish and Lake Chelan. And
yep. It's always what it comes down to.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And Dennis, go ahead. Oh, you're on mute.
You're on mute.
Dennis, you're on mute.
That was probably the best move of the day. Michelle, I was thinking this morning, I've attended probably about 550 board meetings and probably in the neighborhood of 650. Because if you remember, in the earlier days, we met every week.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting here completely humbled by 31 years of these meetings. All I want to say is thank you for your dedication and your support and your good work.
Yeah. Thank you
so much. And 1,200 meetings later, you're alive and well.
I didn't keep count. I don't think I want to try.
No.
Thank you so much.
Right.
I'm truly grateful. Thank you very much.
You will be missed.
Thank you.
Will be missed.
I'll let you guys get on with the meeting before I start.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle, and not only a stabilizing force on Confluence Parkway, but she's been a stabilizing force as we transition from Rocky Reach and Lake Chelan licensing to Rock Island licensing. So you've been super helpful in that transition. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Janelle, you want to come up and
I'm ever going to get used to moving in where she was. Big shoes. Janelle Ora, Kydra Licensing Manager. And I wanted to give you a brief update about a meeting that Chelan County hosted last Tuesday night on the potential Malaga Waterfront Park. It was very well attended.
Good.
I counted 55 individuals that were not associated with the county or their consulting. Matt Chills and I attended on Chelan PUD's behalf. Two of the county commissioners were there, as well as Deanna Walters. So there was a really astounding turnout. The idea was they did a longer version of the presentation that Lisa Dowling from the county provided to all of you a month and a half ago. Shared demographics and that kind of thing. That information is available in the appendix from the last board meeting. And then they asked the public to weigh in on some design ideas. You like this style picnic table or that style picnic table kind of things as they move on. They're running the progress of that project in two parts on a parallel path. Their architectural landscaping firm is moving from 30 to 60% with things like designs of picnic tables, at the same time that their engineering firm is continuing to shore up constructability and feasibility. There's some pretty good sized grades out there, so looking at what the alternatives are there. Some of the resounding things that we heard from our public there included that they have concerns about the railroad crossing, which is a good thing to be concerned about, and a lot of work has gone in with Burlington Northern Santa Fe on figuring out how to address those. That is a public crossing. They're interested in having more of the soccer, softball sorts of things, actually not on that side of the river, but next to the market in an existing piece of land. So that may be a shift that we see in the design moving forward. And they were in pretty good unison on the kind of even style of picnic tables they were interested in. So it was fun to see the insightful and caring thoughts of our customer owners weighing in on the safety of their children and the community and the use of this park. So wanted to make sure that you were all in the know. And as we learn more on the constructability and feasibility and can hone in on the portion that Chelan PUD could be involved in, we will come back to you with information. Any questions?
I will be staying attuned from afar, but good luck.
And if I may, I started 2 months after you did, Anne, and having you here as a strong female has meant a lot to me, so thank you for your service.
And likewise to you, Janelle. Thank you. We need more women in engineering.
Just a minute, Janelle. Dennis?
Oh, Dennis, yes.
Yeah, Janelle, I on the frequency of that trains, isn't that about 21, 22 trains a day through those crossings?
I don't know.
About almost hourly.
Of the trains down that far. But they are working on looking at how long a train would stay parked. That's one of the areas of material interest, because if you have everybody show up for a softball game and then it's time to leave the softball game and there's a train parked there for an hour, that could be less than ideal. Yeah. So that was some of the concern, was the time people may be delayed from crossing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're about a mile long, and there's a lot of them. So, yeah, really good concern. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else?
Thank you, Janelle. Thank you.
Thanks, Janelle. That's all I have for manager items.
All right. Commissioners.
How much time do I have?
Yeah. Well, we have two commissioners that are leaving. We've been celebrating all of their work, and guess what? We're not finished yet. So we have a couple of items for you and some comments, I'm sure. So, and you want me to?
Randy, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad, look at you, I'm glad you're upright.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and get over by my monitor. We have these nice plaques for both Ann and Dennis. I have Ann's right here in front of me, and it just a nice way of giving them something to hang on their wall and remember us. And so, Anne, I'd like to present this to you and congratulate you on many years of service. And Dennis, we have the same beautiful plaque for you. And we'd like to thank you for your years of service. And both of you are going to be sorely missed. So thank you, Dennis.
And I don't know if you've already seen it.
She did. So we don't trip. Yeah, that is beautiful. That is amazing. Do you need help holding it?
Yes, I do.
It's heavy. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
So this is what's on the screen, or at least I don't know if you can stand right. Can you see it?
We haven't got a camera yet.
Move around to
this. Maybe stand right in front of that one.
There.
There you go. So, there we are. Yeah. Yeah,
the plaque you have was handmade by one of our hydro mechanics, and he's here in the room, and he's picking up the one there for Dennis. Jared Payne actually handmade both of these for both of you in honor of your service to Chelan County PUD ratepayers.
Amazing. Are you related to Bob Payne?
Well, it depends.
When I knew Bob,
my uncle, my dad's brother, was Bob. He passed away last year.
And you've done some metal work on some deer or goats in Chelan. Is that you, Bob?
Done put a few fish out of reach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Beautiful.
There's metal work everywhere.
Beautiful work.
Yeah, it really is.
Thank
work.
You so much.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Yeah. They are a nice piece of work. Thank you so much. It's also just exemplary of the quality of work our employees do and how meaningful a job is. And thanks.
Hey, Jared, would you mind holding that up in front of that one right there for there? For Commissioner Bolts, there we go. And maybe,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's good to see the face with the presentation. Now I know who to look for. Thank you.
Yeah, and Jared's supervisor, Wes Rush, is here too. I just wanted to thank both of them, Jared, for your amazing craftsmanship. Just absolutely incredible. And Wes, for your support for the tools and equipment and the time to do meaningful things like that. So really appreciate it.
So that, I have to jump. That is Wes Rush. Unbelievable. Uh-oh. Hi. Uh-oh. I had Wes in school. algebra.
Oh, boy.
Algebra in the 9th grade. And you were a tough bunch. You guys. But Wes, I know Wes's mother very well, and Wes was always very nice and very respectful. They were a challenge, but Wes was, he was a good guy, good kid. It's so nice to see you again. It's been forever. Thank you.
It actually meant a lot to Wes to be able to be part of this.
Oh, yeah. I so appreciate that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you both.
And I think it was said, but I just want to reinforce, Jeremy, this work was great, and you've done, correct me if I'm wrong, but the fish artwork on the outside of Discovery is
beautiful.
Beautifully done by you, and man, it's, you drive by there, it's gorgeous. Great to see. So thank you guys for that work. All right.
So we have time for some open mic?
Yes.
Hard to know where to start. You know, for those of you that thought earlier today that I've got a cold, it's actually every time I started thinking about what I wanted to say, I, you know, started tearing up a little bit. So I tried to figure out what I can say that's really for the utility about the 16 years. And I go back to a meeting. I look in the room. Kirk was probably there. I don't know if Eric was or not, or John or Kelly. But I think our bond was initiated by fire. We had a meeting out at CTC talking about a 9% rate increase. Eric remembers it. Kelly remembers it. That meeting lasted to close to midnight. It didn't end up a unanimous vote. We defied management. Careful, Kirk.
I was going to say the recommendation was something different, if I recall.
About 18%. Yeah.
But we were a much different utility then. We were in a different place. We were close to $1 billion in debt. And I think that night really helped to define who we ended up being as a commission. You have to do the hard fight, sort of like what Michelle was talking about. And you know, damn it, I'm going to miss you guys. And for the commission going forward, there was a lot of unanimous votes in the last 16 years. But you know what? It was hard to get the unanimous. And sometimes it's a lot easier to have a split vote. But we decided that we wanted to try to get to where the other person was. And that's huge. That's absolutely huge. So, have a good retirement with your grandkids. Both of you.
Thank you, Randy. I
had a thought this morning. I was looking at the document that was created by Neil for regarding service, and there's the photo selection was really well done. Two that are very special to me. One is with my granddaughter and Randy, and one is with you talk about it, just a brain skipping out. 4141 Bloover Lane.
Oh,
Rich Cole.
Rich Cole.
And the second phone call I got when I chose to run was from Rich Cole. And he said, I want help on your campaign. And I said, great, I have no idea what I'm doing. And he said, well, I have some ideas. And I said, so tell me what your ideas are. What are you good at? He said, well, I'm pretty good at putting up signs. And I said, so you want to meet? And he goes, yeah, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Smitty's. And I said, well, how am I going to know who you are? He said, I'm going to be the only place in the only person in the restaurant sitting at a table with a grin on my face and a three-ring binder. And so I went in, and he was incredibly organized and ready to go. Which made me think of Gary Arsenault, one part of the conversation that it came out of that. He suggested a gentleman by the name of Bork in Seattle print my signs. And Bork being a union printer, half of our employees being union, I mean, Rich had detail in his mind. And so I called Bork, and a really gruff guy, he had a baritone voice, sounded like he had gravel for breakfast. And he said, yeah, I can make you a winning sign. And I said, well, hell, tell me, you know, who you've done signs for. He goes, well, let's just go Governor Evans to Gregoire. How's that? I said, well, that's pretty good. I can go with that. And so he said, well, do you have a, you know, sign in mind? And I said, yeah, I kind of mocked one up. He said, well, send it over to me electronically. So I sent it over, and about 20 minutes later, he called back and he said, I thought you wanted to win. I said, well, I do. And he goes, not with that sign. And I said, well, I suppose you can do better. He said, I'd have been out of business 30 years ago if I'd have done one like yours. And so I knew I was on the right path. And the end of the conversation, and this is Gary, what made me think about you. He said, Dennis, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. He said, do you pray? I said, frequently. And he said, well, tonight when you pray, thank God for a four-letter last name and a three-letter position. He said, I can make a great sign out of that. So then Arsenault decides to run. And I'm thinking, he's never going to win. Not but anyway, Rich Cole, if there had not been Rich Cole, there wouldn't have been Dennis Bowles as the commissioner. So I always blame him. It's his fault. But I think Rich is undoubtedly the most astutely aware person of local politics of anyone. In that halting speech of his, and his nose is in every corner of the county, and he is a great student, and he would start stuttering a bit. And when he'd start that speech pattern, I would look for something to write with and write on, because he was going to come out with something that I needed to pay attention to. And my first campaign chair, you may be surprised, was Frank Kuntz. Second campaign chair, I didn't have one. I had Joyce Lynn and Rich Cole. And same with the second one. the third one. But, you know, if you sing, it's his fault. So that I got here. But what a marvelous man. We still communicate at least once or twice a month. And he has enriched me in ways that very few people have. His humility, his knowledge, his interest in the local area. And every time I would take a vote, I could feel his hand on my back going, Dennis, something I want to share with you. You know, so the public is important in terms of, you know, Randy, what you're saying. We had the courage to go forward because I think we took the time to find out what the public was thinking. And people like Rich Cole really, truly make a difference. And it's been a great experience. And I've enjoyed working with each and every one of you. And Malachi, I see you present today. And our relationship goes back to high school. And appreciate you as well. So thanks, everybody. It's been interesting.
Just a comment about Rich Cole. Rich Cole helped me on my campaign as well. And, you know, this really touched me. When you talk to Rich and thank him for his good work and his great common sense, and Dennis said he's a student. He is a student. He would look at you and say, well, I'm just a truck driver. And he's just, I don't want to say he's so much more than a truck driver, because truck drivers are great and they're very important and we need truck drivers, but he's just a really special human being. I haven't seen him for years. I'd love to see him again, Dennis. Maybe we can all three have coffee.
We have breakfast at lunch occasionally, and we'll invite you.
Great. I'd love that.
Yeah.
So at this time, I'll also look for anybody on the computer, see if there are any other comments before we close out here today. Malachi, would you like to speak, please? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Commissioners Congdon and Bowles, I just wanted to join the meeting and join in saying thank you. We've gotten lots of opportunities to get to know each other in this forum as you served in your role as commissioner. I got to develop maybe a deeper than average customer owner understanding of what it is commissioners do, how important it is, and how little materially you receive in return for all your service. So I just want to say thank you. Most of us in the county just don't understand how important it is what you commissioners do. You are holders of the public trust with a critical asset that's been blessed on this region by people who have gone before us. And you too have served so long that it was funny to think about, 2005 and 2007 to now, that is an extremely long period of service and a lot of hours and heart and soul that you've put into serving us. And so on behalf of the county and a lot of people that really don't have any clue what it was you did all that time, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your service. You've left the utility better than you found it. And your institutional knowledge and wisdom and discernment was critical to getting us from there to here. And so on behalf of the county and the rest of the consumers, I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Malachi.
Thank you so much, Malachi. I've learned a lot by watching you. You were very professional and very respectful, but pushed very hard. You had some things you felt were important, and things didn't always go your way. In fact, probably most of what we've been talking about most recently didn't go your way, and you are such a good sport. So I learned by watching how you handled yourself in difficult situations. So I appreciate that. I appreciate getting to know you.
Cam,
thank you. The feeling's been mutual, and we haven't always agreed, but we've always treated each other with respect, right? And so it's beautiful that with everything wrong in this world, that we can disagree and do so respectfully and maintain relationship. That's how we model for future generations, is by how we act.
Perfect. Gary, did you have your hand up?
Thank you, Steve. And I just want to say that, Dennis and Ann, you both have been wonderful teachers. And you will be sorely missed as a member of the board. But just because you're not on the board, don't think you are off the hook, because I will be calling and picking your brain and asking for guidance. So thank you very much, not only for being such great caretakers of the public good, but also good friends. Thank you.
And Gary, I have a feeling they're going to keep calling us and keeping us all on the straight and narrow as well. So
I promise I won't. Do may I have?
Yes, please.
A couple minutes.
Go ahead, Ann.
All right. So, first of all, I want to thank all of you for your kind words. I look around and Kirk and Rebecca and Eric and Rosario. I mean, I just want to thank everybody. There's not enough time, but I want to thank all of you for your commitment, for your dedication to Chelan PUD. I appreciate the talent and the professionalism that you've brought to the organization, and I just don't know how to thank all of you enough. It's just been a blessing working with all of you, and I will really miss you. And now, my fellow commissioners, my friends, Randy said it the other day. He said, you know, you didn't say we've grown old together. I think you said we've grown up together, and we truly have, with grandkids and medical issues and unpopular decisions, and we've been through it all, and I feel like we always supported each other, and that's not to say we didn't butt heads. Dennis and I definitely butted heads, and we did it pretty well, didn't we, Dennis? but we always got through it. We had this pack, and Malachi mentioned it, and we made a pack a long time ago that said we can disagree, but we cannot be disagreeable. And I think that has served us really well. A woman's perspective on an all-male board and in a male-dominated industry, well, it isn't so much so anymore, is a good thing. And I know it was maddening at times for my fellow commissioners, but it's important nonetheless, and I so appreciate you guys putting up with me, listening to me, embracing that, understanding the importance of having different perspectives. And I have loved working with you guys, and I really miss you. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Thank you for everything.
Dennis, any last shots before we move into executive session?
I don't think you want to open that up, because I know I can speak for hours. I have just enjoyed not only the position but the relationships. And I was going to say I hated campaigning with Randy. I have never felt more inept in my life. We would get into a campaign situation, and Randy had an opponent, and I had an opponent. But my fear was Randy. You kind of arbitrarily sometimes get an order to speak, and Randy would speak first. And he has kind of a nice radio voice, and he's extremely articulate. And Randy would finish, and then I would walk up to the microphone with drool running down my chin and go, well, you know what he said. It was just so humiliating to follow him because he was so articulate, and there was nothing left for me to say that was constructive. And I just sounded like an echo chamber when I spoke afterwards. So I would do anything I could to be able to speak before Randy, because he was then going to just clean it up afterwards. But at least I got a chance to get it out originally. So, and then I always teased Randy that politically we started a little bit different. We'd be driving into the meeting and he would turn Rush Limbaugh up, which isn't really true, but I would turn Rush Limbaugh down. And we always found a way to find, in the middle. And then I think maybe the last thing was, I don't know if you remember our first meeting when Andrew Monroe brought Dave Arbaugh's contract in at the last minute, not on the agenda, out of the clear blue. And a phrase got coined that day that stuck with us for the rest of our careers. We just said, we're not. No. We appreciate Dave and his work. We appreciate you and your work. But you don't bring things in at the last minute unannounced to the commission. And Randy said the immortal words, Andrew, I need soap time. And I think that phrase set a tone and an expectation. But I'll never forget that meeting because there was significant pushback. And then I was also laughing the other day. I drove past Kirby Billingsley Park. And do you remember when we wanted to change the name? What an arduous task that was. The pushback that we got on that one. It was like, part of the park staff was like, well, we just don't want to start naming parks after people. Our comment was, well, if you get somebody else that has Kirby Billingsley status, yeah, it's still going to be okay. So anyway, there were just interesting things where the markers were set and the expectations were set, and a different set of values were incorporated. And Randy, the meeting you talked about with the 9%, John Janney and Rich Riazzi had come out with 18%. And we made a motion and went to 9. And I thought the marriage between the board and the general manager was dissolved. And so it went pretty much a couple months pretty quiet. And then we had our evaluation with Rich. And we all had our notebooks and not all done our homework. And gave Rich a chance to speak first. And he opened his notebook and he spoke, I don't know if you remember that or not, but almost 2 hours. And at the end of that, we just closed our notebooks. He had self-identified everything that every commissioner felt needed to, have happen. And it was just a great example of leadership on his part. Marriage was saved and the PUD went on. But those were some really interesting times, because the commission wasn't always viewed the same way that it's viewed now. And those markers were set, values were established. And I think our agreement to work together set a tone at the top that was pretty good. And I made a comment the other day that when we were discussing Steve Wright's contract as in a session, and it got pretty personal and pretty loud, and Sheila stuck her head in the room and said, I know you guys think you're having a private meeting, but every office around you can hear you. And there were times when we didn't necessarily agree, but it turned out pretty well. So thanks again. It's been more than a position. It's been a friendship in relationships as well. And Kirk, it's been fun to grow up with you. Appreciate you being in that leadership role now. And Eric, we had a chance the other night to talk about my first impression of you in the Monitor Church in the middle of August, about 105 degrees. and got to see you literally under fire, and your response, and you set a tone there that I have always appreciated, and thanks for your work.
Thank you.
And yeah, so enough said.
All right.
It's been great. Yeah.
Thank you, Dennis.
Dennis and Ann, it's been a blessing, a privilege, and I'm going to miss both of you. So thank you very much. Any other?
You'll see me, Steve.
I know it.
So Steve is interesting. I just want to comment. Zoom meetings with Steve were really fun because we'd either see the big black dog. What was that dog's name?
Nia.
So Steve has an interesting household. We might see one of his four dogs. Do you have four dogs?
Two.
Two dogs. Right, right. Three kids, foster kids, Grandma Kay, probably the neighbor kids maybe over having dinner, which my kids did all the time at McKenna's house because Phyllis was a great cook. So interesting household, lovely family, lovely man.
Thank
you. I'm really happy you're on the board.
Thank you. Okay, with that, I'm going to go. Do we have any other commission items?
Hopefully not, right?
Hopefully
enough.
Not. Kirk, follow-up on delegation action items from prior board meetings.
We have no follow-up items to report on, and then we don't have any new ones from today either.
All right. At this point, I'll open up for any additional public comment. I'm not seeing anybody on the screen. Do we have any other matters of general business that may necessarily come before the board, before the commission today? Hearing none, we will be moving into recessing into executive session to discuss with legal counsel agency enforcement actions, litigation, potential litigations to which the district or its board is or likely to become a party. And legal risk is authorized by statute, and to review the performance of a public employee is authorized by statute for 15 minutes. We'll then come out at noon and continue celebrating our staff with our commissioners that are leaving. So we're recessed. We are coming out of executive session. No decisions were made. No votes were taken. We are adjourned.